Okay, so let's begin, I see where. Last week we were discussing the different approaches to solving the apparent contradictions between two Gemaras, and I want to finish with that today, and then we'll move on to Rav Acha Brei Darvika. Again, the Gemara, the Mishnah says that Dine Bamed is Bishlosha, Gzelos V'Chavalos Bishlosha. We've been discussing this different categories of Sanhedrin. And then the Gemara wants to know what the difference is between Hodos V'Chavalos and Gzelos V'Chavalos. And the Gemara says, the first answer that the Gemara gives on Beis Amid Beis is the answer of Rava, which is that Minat Torah, really everything requires Gimel Smuchim. But the Drabanan, you can get away with Gimel Hedyotos, in the case of Hodos V'Havos, because of the factor of Netilas, of Ne'ilas, rather, Delas Bifnei Lavin. Because of Ne'ilas Delas Bifnei Lavin, in order to encourage people to lend money, they decided to lower the standards of judges, and consequently, to allow Gimel Hedyotos. So the problem that we were dealing with is that according to Rava, there seems to be a contradiction between two Gemaras, and the contradiction seems to extend to two different issues. Number one, the Doraisa issue, and the other, Drabana. Minat Torah, why do you, or how do you know that you require Smuchim? So the Gemara here says, because of the word Elohim. And then the Gemara says that whether or not Elohim is limited to the Parsha in which it appears, which is Gzelos V'Chavalos, or it also extends to things like Hodos V'Havos, Minat Torah, depends on a hermeneutic, I guess, issue, and that is whether or not Eruv Parshios Kosuv Kan or not. The Torah says something in one context, does that limit it to that context, or is it going to be farmed out elsewhere? So basically, that's the Gemara's presentation of the requirement of Smuchim. The Gemara seems to say Eruv Parshios Kosuv Kan, and therefore Minat Torah you require Smuchim everywhere. But Midrabanan, because of the Ilas Delas, they dropped the requirement in the case of Hodos V'Havos. But the Gemara in Gittin, the first entry in our in the sheets that we've been using, has a totally different presentation than our Gemara. There the Gemara speaks about a certain case of Abaya Ashkechel or Yosef Teka Yosef Kamaasi Agiti, that he was involved in the forcing of on the coercion of a get, a Malay, and he said to him, how could you do this? What gives you the authority? V'ha'anan, hedyotos, anan. We're hedyotos. V'tanya, ha'yarmei roma, kol makov shenem, ramotzi, ugoriel, shalov, kachavim, afi shedem, kedine, yisrael, eya, tarashoy, lehizakek lahem, shenem, ra'ela, mishpatim, asher tasim, lifnehem, lifnehem, v'lo lifnei, akum, v'achel, lifnehem, v'lo lifnei, hedyotos. So here the Gemara's presentation is that the requirement of smuchim is a function not of Elohim, but of Lifnei and below Lifnei Hedyotos. It's a different source. How do you explain that discrepancy? Then the Gemara's answer is Amar Lahu, or Amar Le, Anan Shlichusayu Ka'avdinan, Binadhava Ahodos V'Halvos. The Gemara says, you're right, Minat Torah, it seems like you should require Smuchim, but the just like Hodos V'Halvos, they dropped the requirement of Smuchim. You can drop the requirement of smuchim based on the principle of shlichusayu. So once again, there seems to be a discrepancy between the two Gemaras. Our Gemara says the reason that we don't require smuchim, right, which is based on Elohim, is because of ne'ilas delas. The Gemara in Gittin says the reason you don't need smuchim, which is based on lifnei v'lo lifnei hedyotos, is because of shlichusayu. The question is, how do we explain this double discrepancy? If that's what we were discussing. So I think what we've seen so far is that Rashi in Gittin, and Tosas in Sanhedrin, and the Rajba in Gittin and Bava Kama, a number of Rishonim, take the view that really there's no contradiction whatsoever on the Drabana level, possibly not on the Daraisa level either. The Daraisa part we'll get to in just a second. What they say is that the motivation for the Takana Drabanan is Ne'ilas Delas. But the mechanism is Shlichusayu. Meaning, why did the Chachamim decide to drop the requirement of Dayanim Smuchim? The answer is shalotin al deles bifne lavin. But you can't just decide no longer to require dayanim if dayanim smuchim is a definitional requirement. So for that, says Rashi, probably you need the mechanism of shlichosai, and we'll explain what shlichosai means a little bit later on. But shlichosai obviously has something to do with the dayanim who are judging, being perceived as the representatives of dayanim smuchim. Right, as Rashi himself puts it, if you look here on line 8, shlichosayu de bnei eretz yisrael ka'avdinan heim nasnu lanu rishus. That's the connection. Now, how do I know that Rashi says this? Because that's the next line. Mididahava dinei mamanis tahavos davdin shlichosayu k'darminim sanhedrin. The words k'darminim sanhedrin give it away, because the word shlichosayu doesn't appear in our Gemara. So, since shlichosayu doesn't appear in our Gemara, but Rashi says it does, so we can know that the words shlichosayu and ilas deles are basically interchangeable. How could they be interchangeable? One is the motivation, the other is the mechanism. And it's precisely this idea that the Ran disputes, as we saw, I'm not going to repeat it because we discussed it last week. The Ran basically says there can't be a separate motivation and a separate mechanism, because the Gemara makes a comparison between the requirement of Dayanim Smuchim and the requirement of Drisha V'Chakira in Eidos. And in both cases it says that Ni'ilas Deles justifies dropping the higher requirement. But in the case of Drisha V'Chakira, there's no added mechanism. All there is the rationale of Ni'ilas Deles. So it must be, if we're comparing these two things, that Huadin Wagabe's Dayanim Smuchim, that all you need is a rationale. And what I tried to explain last week is that unquestionably Rashi and Tosis and those who disagree will say all the Gemara wanted to prove from Drisha V'Chakira is not that there's an absolute equation between the problem of Drisha V'Chakira and the problem of Dayanim Smuchim. On the contrary, they're totally different problems. We know from other sources that they're totally different problems. In the end of the day, Ni'ilas Deles, according to many Rishonim anyway, according to simple reading of the Gemaras, dictates that no Dine Mamanus will require Drisha V'Chakira, even though it doesn't dictate that no Dine Mamanus will require Dayanim Smuchim, right? So there are already differences between the two. So what is the Gemara learning one from the other? One simple factor, and that is that Ni'ilas Deles is an internal halachic consideration that bears taking very seriously and that could justify, right, creating drabanans. Now, how you create the particular drabanan is going to be different in each case, depending on what it is that you need to accomplish. But what the Gemara wanted to know was, is Ni'ilas Deles just about finances? And is it about the lobby of creditors against the lobby of debtors? Or is that a spiritually significant issue? Meaning, if the well-being of the Jewish community depends on promoting interest-free loans with confidence, then that isn't just a matter of finance. That's not a matter for Wall Street, right? You know, or for the banks. That's a matter for the rabbis. You know, that's a matter for religion. So what we wanted to show was that Ni'ilas Deles is an important consideration in halacha. We proved that in Drisha V'Chakira, and now we're extending it to Dayanim Smuchim. But that's where the comparison ends. You have to assess each issue according to its own dynamic, according to its own, according to its own status and stature. So that's Rashi's perspective. Anyway, Rashi Tosis, the Rajba and Gittin and Bava Kaba, that's one answer to these questions. The second answer is based on Rashi later on Daf Yud Gimel Omid Beis. There Rashi seems to say that there are two completely different dinim, one of Hodos Valvos and the other Xelos V'Chavalos in Chutz Laretz. If you look at Rashi and Yud Gimel Omid Beis, it's also here. If you want to look at it in the sheets, it's the second to last entry. Rashi says, "L'meidan dinei knasos, the Elohim ksiv." Right, the word Elohim is the source of dayanim smuchim. He's not answering that question. "T'mashma dayanim mumchin v'hainu smuchim," and then he adds, "Ubishar dinei mamanis lo beinan mumchin, kidu k'mina bebreish pirkin mishum nilas delas, v'heicha deleka nilas delas kagon arba shomrim gzelos dayanim bebabel afong mideleka smuchin d'shlichusayu ka'avdinan." What is Rashi saying? There are two different takanos. One is a takana of hodos valvos. That's based on nilas delas. And then there's another takana, and that is in things like shomrim, right, and gzelos, and a few other things, where nilas delas doesn't apply, but what does apply is shlichus hayu. And you wonder, according to Rashi, whether there isn't a huge difference between these two takanos in the following possible way. Because as we've been asking all along, when the Chachamim decided that you no longer need Dayanim Smuchim, are they telling us that Hedyotos are now considered the equivalent of Smuchim? Or are they telling us that we really don't need this, and that Hedyotos, even though they remain Hedyotos, are sufficient? And maybe there are differences. For example, Kfiya. Can you impose din on the Balei Dvarim? Or maybe the Gemara's question, Ta'u Yishalmu or Lo Yishalmu? Do you get a free pass in terms of malpractice, protection? So we're not sure whether the nafkaminas will be these cases, but what one might say is that in the case of Hodos V'Halvos, because of Nilas Deles, it's sufficient to have Gimel Dayanim Hedyotos. But when it comes to Shlichusayu, the mechanism of connecting Hedyotos to Smuchim, maybe the idea is not so much that we're acknowledging the downgrade as much as that we are upgrading Hedyotos to the almost equivalent status of Smuchim, and maybe these are going to be some of the nafkamim. So that's the second, that's Rashi here in Sanhedrin. The third answer is Tosas in Sanhedrin and in Gittin. Diramasko liboy nami mumchen. Tosas here says two different things. Liboy nami mumchen. This is the bottom Tosas on days on days. Tosas says tema. Tamash mahacha de mimatina nediotos. Midasiv Elohim. Perakamagarish mimaitlo midasiv. Lifneim velo lifnei hakum velo lifnei hediotos. Tosas is bothered not by the drabanan question of nilas delos and shlichus hayu, but the doraisa question of lifneihem, right, versus Elohim. So the first answer of Tosas is like similar to what we said about Rashi on the drabanan, and that is that really they're the same. They look different, but they're the same. They shomar tahasam mimatina milifneim mishum delifneim koy Elohim tahi klomar. Dahacha, sorry, Elohim Dahacha. Klomar, Lifnei Adayanim Amufurashim B'makam Acher. So the first answer of Tosas is that on the Daraisa level at least, there is no discrepancy. Lifnehem means Lifnei Ho Elohim, below Lifnei Hedyotos. Same thing. Okay. But what's more important is the second answer of Tosas. Tosas says, Umiyu Begitin, Pirish Bekuntus Mishum Dekoya Shivim Skenim Aksuvim Besov Parshas Mishpatim, Shehelu Imo Lahar. Shein Sanhedrin. So therefore, you're back to the question. V'nir lefarish to begitin linyan milidik v'yairi da'adahachi I'm sorry da'achi ma'isela abaya ashkach Rabbi Yosef da'avi Yosef v'kama'asa agitin. The Gemara in Gittin is talking about a case of kfiya, where Bezdin is imposing their will. They're not paskening. They're imposing that's a ma'isa Bezdin bal korcha. And there, right, the quotation is Lifneim v'lo lifnei hediotos. Aval Elohim lava mili di isui mairi ele bedin bialma. And then he explains hodemaishelam mili di isui milifneim d'arshin l'kama mashar tasim elu klei hadayanim d'shayich bahen sima. So basically Tosas presents us with an important principle, and that is that two types of dinim abezdin, and they have two different sources for why you require smuchin. One is a din in psak, Hora'ah, and the other is a din in Maisa Bezdin. And there are two different ideas. And the Ksos uses this idea for the Rambam to explain some discrepancies that we'll get at. He thinks in general there are two different concepts of Bezdin. Yeah?
Can we say, when it comes to din in Mamanos, there are three things that are lesser. First, you only need Gimel Dayan. Then you don't need Mumchen. Then you don't need Drisha HaKira. But here,
Two of the three are Drabanan and one of them is Doraisa.
But we made a split in the Dina Momenos. We made those of Halvos and we made the Gzelos.
Right.
But in truth, it's all the same. You're going to have Hevyotis, you're going to have three Danyonim, you're going to have the Drisha.
Not really. Not in Gimel. According to Rava, you're really only going to have Gimel Dayanim Hedyotos. in Hodos Valvos. Later on, Tosfos has this discussion. There are different views in Tosfos whether Gzelos and what's included in Gzelos and Chavalos. So we expand them a little bit. Some of the cases that we think are Gzelos and Chavalos end up being, Hodos Valvos or Knossos, etc. And there's even one very radical view of Rabbeinu Tam, which is that Gzelos and Chavalos means Gzelos al Yedei Chavalos. In a very rare case where you have a combination of Gzelos and Chavalos. So that's why, because they're bothered, because if you look through Shas, there does seem to be many cases of Gzelos and Chavalos where we're operating with Gimel Dayonim Hedyotos. But mostly the Gemara does preserve, in principle at least, the difference between Hodos Vavos and Gzelos Chavalos. Okay, anyway, so this is the third view, third answer. This is the Tosfos view. We should keep this in mind generally, that Bezdin has two totally different functions, one of Maisa Bezdin and the other of Psak Din. Okay. The fourth view is a very radical view in the other direction. I want to thank you for, bringing it. I mentioned the Moshe of Zakenim last week. The Moshe of Zakenim is Balei Tosfos, one of the collections of Balei Tosfos Ala Torah. And here, I'm going to read it to you, assuming I can find it. So you called my bluff. What?
Ocean's Akim is an old age
home. Yeah. So, it's Lifnib. No one else has it, or you have it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'll check up on me. It's the first Lifnehem. Okay? Lifnehem v'lo Lifnei Goyim. Listen to this. Afil donim l'cha din Torah v'din emes. Okay, that's based on the Gemara. Even if the non-Jewish court system is using Jewish law, and the content of the law is the same. It doesn't matter. Kol alech lefnehem, kofer bi'ikar amale yirosom shenemar, ki lo kitzarenu tzuram. Lechem pasak ta'osol alech asar kol shogayim, ad sheyima'ein mileredimo bedine Yisrael. Until we know that Jews do use non-Jewish courts, but the point is that they're supposed to try to settle their differences internally in Dine Yisrael. If for some reason you can't get justice that way because they refuse to, one of the parties refuses, let's say, to accept the decision, especially if you live in the diaspora and you can't impose the authority of Jewish law, right, in such a framework, so then there would be a heter to go to our coast. But osur lalechasar ko shogayim ad sheyimain milered imo b'dinei Yisrael. Let's say the other party refuses, right, to use Jewish courts. Okay. V'hu b'nidu b'shamta. L'chor Rabbani Olam, Rabbeinu Tam, Rash, Ratz, Rabbeinu Yonah, Rabbi Yavano, I'm not who that is, Yoani, Harishumim b'igeres hamitpaletzes, b'tzitza matad, sh'yufaysenu b'choma, sh'hifsid al-pi zayin tu v'yair, etc. Fine, good. Okay. Then he says the following. K'sas kasha, l'amali l'mutei goyim, v'amash m'lefneim, afilu hedyotos v'gerim psulim. Mishum the koyaleim, the lekamon shemum chavim kein kolshken goyim. The Balei Tosfos Ala Torah asks a simple question: why do we even need to exclude non-Jewish courts if we're even excluding hedyotos, non-smuchim? If you require smuchim, and even hedyotos are excluded, then obviously non-Jews are excluded as well. So listen to the answer. Yesh lomar the itzrich lifnei goyim afilu b'dieved. The ain dinayim din, aval hadyotos, the gerim, nay de lechatchila, ainam din, ainam danim, mikomokum bidieve, dinayim din. This is a sensational view, a very atypical view in the Rishonim. This view of the Balei Tosfos Ala Torah is that the requirement of dayanim smuchim as opposed to hadyotos, and equally the requirement of dayanim that they not be gerim, is only lechatchila, not b'diavad.
It's a very pragmatic solution for the medieval times.
What do you mean?
I mean, they didn't have smuchim, they needed to have a system of din.
Okay, well, I mean, our solution is mostly usually b'din shli chusayu, but...
Yes.
Okay. He's saying minat Torah, even.
Where do we find dinei Torah, the difference between b'diavad and lechatchila?
Well, this is a question. I mean, we do here and there. usually they ask this question in Dine Mominus, or you know, this is the famous question that the that the Rishonim ask in about Eide Mesira and Eide Chasima, according to the Rif. You know, that they say Af Eide, but Lechatchila you should have Eide Mesira, but it's Af Eide Chasima Karsis. So that's the famous question that the Rosh asks. Your question. Hechan Matzinu, that is a Lechatchila and a B'diavad. You're in mitzvos, we know that. But I think here it's not as much of a problem, because what you're probably going to say is that the question of srara or kavod is the reason for the lechatchila. So in a way, the lechatchila doesn't relate to hechsher din, it relates to violating the iser of not paying that respect. So it's actually much easier to answer the question here than it is when the Rosh asked it in Eide Chasima Karsi. What emerges, number one, is an interesting equation between the problem of geirus and the lack of smuchim. I mean, geirim and hedyotos are equated here. It's not such a simple matter. The Ksos has a whole discussion about geirim. In general, there's a big debate among the Rishonim how to understand the limitations of geir and din. Again, the details are not for now. But, geir is not able to be done Yisrael, but he can be geir can be done chavero hageir. And then there's a debate in the Rishonim whether that's only in the basis of Kiblo Alai or even, Bal Korchach. The Ksos said certainly Geir must have the capacity to have smicha. If Minat Torah, he can be done Chavero HaGer. But why isn't that a problem of what we call Roy L'chol HaTorah Kula, that you have to be Roy L'chol HaTorah Kula because it can't be done Yisrael? Anyways, the status of Geir as a Dayan is an interesting issue, but it's not our topic right now. But what is fascinating is this view of Bali Tosas Ala Torah, that both the problem of Geir and the problem of Hedyotos is only a Lechatchila problem, not a B'dievet problem. Okay. This is not the standard view, obviously, as we just noted, and we've just given several other answers. So what I want to do is now turn our attention, before we move on to the next Gemara, to the Ramban and the Ran. We started speaking a little bit about them, but we didn't discuss what they actually said last time. The Chidush HaRan in Sanhedrin, this part we read last time, asks these two questions. He says, I want to point out several difficulties. Number one, on a Doraisa level, Elohim versus Lifneim Velo Lifnei Hedyotos. And number two, the Drabanan, our Gemara says, Nilas Delas. The Gemara there says, Shlichus Hayom. What's going on? And then he says, don't tell me one is the motivation and the other is the mechanism, right? Which we tried to explain as the Pshat and Rashi and Tosas, because that can't be because of the discrepancy to Drisha v'Chakira. I tried to answer that question. But what does the Ran actually say? Oh. So I'll get to that in just 1 second. Before I do, I want to read the Ramban Ala Torah. We started reading that also last time to build up the background of all of this. The Ramban in Mishpatim, on page 2, starting from the top of the page, 1. I'm sorry, let's go to 8. I think I read 1 through 7 last time anyway. So the Ramban discusses the relationship between Hedyotos and Akum. Now we just had finished the Moshe of Skenim, who says that Akum and Hedyotos are totally different. Hedyotos is only lechatchila, and Akum is bidyeved, right? Now, look at the Ramban says.
Is there a reason for that, or is it just simply a mezeres hakasim?
What?
Because
is there a reason for what?
For being mafkia and Akum, even if they're don in Dine Yisrael and things of that sort.
Well, it seems to be the limud. But I mean, why? I think the logic of it goes back to our first topic, which I tried to explain, is that there are really two aspects of Mishpat Tzedek, in a way. One is, just the efficiency of the system, the just character of Jewish law, and so on and so forth. As far as that is concerned, all things being equal, if Dineim was Kedineinu, and it wasn't some sort of a gzeira, atu when it's not, then everything should be fine. However, the bigger point I was trying to make was that Chosha Mishpat is not something that should be seen in isolation, right? It's something that is integrated into the rest of Jewish law. I was trying to explain, to answer the Nitzitz question, which is even to highlight it even stronger, just to remind everybody, the Ramah's view was that the dinin of Bnei Noach is choshen mishpat. Meaning, if we could recommend to Bnei Noach what dinin, one of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, means, having a legal system, we would say to them, adopt choshen mishpat. So the Netziv, in his parish on the Shulta, says, I don't understand. If that's really what it means, then what do we mean when we say, Mishpatim bal yida'um, haleluka? They're supposed to be adopting choshen mishpat. That's not mishpatim bal yida'um. We say they have no justice. They don't know what it means. What do you mean they don't know what it means? Never mind. It's not. Never mind the code of Hammurabi or the constitution or the, you know, emancipation proclamation, whatever it is. Never mind that they're all pretty, you know, impressive, you know, lofty, you know, documents, right? Forget about even that. You know, according to the Ramah's understanding of what dinin is supposed to be, it's actually choshen mishpat. What could be better than that? So what do you mean mishpatim bal yida'um? So that's the Netziv's question. That's why he rejects the Ramah. You know, we're not going to leave the Ramah hanging, right? So what I was trying to explain was that what they mean by that is there are two perspectives on Choshen Mishpat. One is when you have Choshen Mishpat as a system, but in isolation. And, you know, it's a very important system, and we want Bnei Noach to adopt it. But it still doesn't have the same impact as it does for us when it's part of the totality of a commitment that also includes Avinu Ezer and Arachayim, right, and Kadshim and Taharos, meaning that holistic, integrated, you know, total commitment is something which transforms each part of it. Each part, you know, is more, than what it is in isolation. So that's kind of what I was trying to explain about afilu kishadineim kidineinu, same idea. That, you know, okay, so they have the same laws of Shomrim. Let's say they have the same laws of Onah. But the rest of it isn't the same. And it's the total picture.
The sum is greater than
The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. And I'm trying to say, not just that it's greater, but it's qualitatively different. The transcendence of Jewish law is a function of that larger, you know, comprehensiveness and consistency. That's what I think the answer really is. Okay. Anyways, let's getting back to the... So the Ramban also takes a stand on the relationship between Hedyotos and Arkaus, but his stand is a little... complex. He starts off going in one direction, and then he pulls back halfway towards the end. This is what he says in number 8. L'kach omar b'kan shemishpatim ha'eli yasimo osam lefnei ho'elehim sheyazkir. Right? These mishpatim should be implemented by or placed in the presence of the dayanim that we mentioned. Ve'lo lefnei goyim. Ve'lo lefnei mi she'ena shofet al pi haTorah. Now, the words Misha'ena Shofet al pi haTorah can have one of two meanings. It could mean, theoretically, someone who doesn't know how to judge according to Dine Torah. Here, it clearly does not mean that. It means the second meaning, which is he who, according to Dine Torah, should not judge. Okay, how do I know that? Because of the very next line. The who hedyot lazeh. Sha'aser lavo b'fanav, you're not allowed to bring a din to a non-samach. K'shem sha'aser lavo lifnei agoyim. That k'shem is very important. Just as you're not allowed to bring your din Torah to a non-Jewish judge. The apapishi adua, even though it's well known, she'ahedyot hazeh yodea shuras adin, he knows the law. That's how I knew that the previous sentence, where it says, right, Mi she'eno shofet al pi haTorah doesn't mean he doesn't know the law. It means he who the Torah doesn't think has the status of a judge, right? So even if he knows the law, the Torah said that he, by virtue of the fact that he's not a samuch, is not a proper judge. V'adin lo kahogen, even though he knows the law, and he will render a proper psak. Aval hu asur lasumo dayan. The Baldin is not allowed to make him a dayan, vilitz oklo, and to bring, you know, to his crying of injustice to his presence. Sheyakufis baldino ladun lefanav. Vahedit atzmo asur ladun lahem. There's a double iser, says the Rambat. Very fascinating. And he repeats this in Zeborer, in his Chidushim on Sanhedrin. There are two isurim and they're connected. They come from the same pasuk. The dayan, hedyot, is not allowed to blur the lines. In other words, he's not allowed to hear cases. And the balei dvarim are not allowed to choose him as a dayan. That's he. Neither he nor they are allowed to replace smuchim with hedyotos. That's the din. Oh. Then the Ramban pulls back 50%. The apapish is kiru chachamim shtei akitos ha'elu kiachas. Even though we just equated, and the chachamim equate, hedyotos and arkaos, akum, yesh hefresh benem. There's a difference between them. What's the difference? Shimratu shnei baladin lavo lifnei hedyotos shebi Yisrael mutar. Ubit kibla mulayu dino din. Mishnah says later on in Zeborer, Neman alayaba, neman alayavicha, neman alayagimel roi bakar. Meaning, if the Balidinim decide that they want to accept Dayanim, certain Dayanim, psulim, they are allowed to. Right? So basically, can they accept Hedyotos? Or can they only accept people like Krovim, relatives? So the Ramban says, even though the Torah, the Medrash, I before was equating the problem of Hedyotos and the problem of Arkos, you should know there's a big difference between them. And the difference is in Kibbalai. Aval lifnei goyim, asurim em lava lefanov sheyadun lahem, bidineim leolam, afilo hayu, dineim kedineinu, but also inyan. Even Kibbalai is not going to help, but Kibbalai will help for Hedyotos. So the Ramban has a 50% comparison, still impressive. Right? Now again, the Moshe's Kainim doesn't think it's a comparison at all. He thinks that it's only Lechatrila, right? But there's a Shem Dayan, there's a Shem Din. The Ramban thinks that without Kibla Olai we equate Hedyotos and Akum. With Kibla Olai we distinguish between them. By the way, I should add, this is very important, there's a huge debate, maybe we'll get into it later in the year, regarding Kibla Olai. This idea of Neman Olai Abba, Neman Olai Avicha, Neman Olai Gimel Olai Bakar. There's a very big debate. It's the Gemara has it by Edim and by Dayanim, that you can rewrite a little bit some of the rules. If the Bali Dinim say, we accept this one, we accept that one. Dayan Echad. So the question is this. Is that Ischaibus? Or is that rewriting the rules, but it remains Din? Is that a kind of Masna, Masha, Kosim, B'Torah, B'Tanai, Davarship, B'Mamon, but one in which, right, it remains Din? Or, no, it's just a way of saying, we're going to simulate, you know, we're playing a video game of Din, but really, we're accepting upon ourselves as chayvus. Instead of saying, you know, if you juggle for me, I'll give you $1,000. I say, if you go to court and these, you know, simulated Dayanim and Edim come, I'll give you the amount of money.
Is that like a sharp?
Well, there's a similar question to ask about Pshara, if that's what you mean.
But it's different.
But you might say that it plays out differently. It's easier to say that Pshara is a form of Din than it is to say about Kibbul Olai. But what I'd like to point out here is that there's this debate. For example, I'll just give you one. Anybody who puts limits on Kibbul Olai must be assuming that it's not pure Ischaibus. Mostly must be assuming that. For example, you mentioned one Dayan, right? There's a debate in the Rishonim whether Kibbul Olai we say only Chadal Reyusa or even Tartal Reyusa. Meaning two strikes you can correct or only one strike. So let's say instead of three Dayanim I can say one, like you said. Or instead of three Rechokim, I can take three Krovim. Can I also take one Rechok? Or is that's called Tartal Reyusa? You're cheating on the number, not cheating. You're, what? I mean one karov, meaning, in other words, we're compromising two standards, the quantity, right, and the kashrus. Can you do that? If it's a simulation, and it's all the schaivus, the second you get away from real din, it's not din anymore anyway, who cares? right? But if you think that the Torah allows some flexibility for the Bali Dinim to write their own rules a little bit, that the rules are meant as a low plug. If the Bali Dinim want to agree, they're the ones who are affected, they can rewrite some of the rules, but they can't rewrite all the rules. There's supposed to be a semblance, right, of the real court, maybe the number, maybe the quality. I'm not telling you where you draw the line. So what's fascinating about this Ramban is that the Ramban is basically saying that Kibbul Olai works for Hedyotos, right? But if Kibbul Olai works for Hedyotos, what does that prove? It proves that Hedyotos can be rehabilitated? Or does it just prove that we're dealing with Ischaibus? Right? But the Ramban does say at the same time that what? That Kibbul Olai does not work for Dayanim Akum, our cause. So what do we see? That according to the Ramban, Kibbul Olai isn't just Ischaibus. It's a way of rehabilitating or redefining, right, the conditions. If that's true, and that's why it doesn't always work. It won't work to redefine Akum, but it will work to redefine Hedyotos. That shows that Hedyotos is not as great a psul, obviously, as Akum. Now that's true for the Moshav's Kenim, but the Moshav's Kenim, it's all on the Chatril level. Here, it's really B'di'ebed, and it's psul, and it's like our kos, just not beyond redemption or rehabilitation. That's the Ramban al HaTorah. But it shows us that Hedyotos is a very serious chisaron. Now I'm going to show you that the Ran, who's quoting the Ramban in the third parak, but on this particular point, goes one step further and says that Hedyotos are not even subject to Kibbul Olai. And that's, right, in the respect, they're exactly like Akum. That's an amazing shita. Yeah.
So, one of has shmicha today.
Yeah.
He has shlichus ayikra of dina.
Ooh, well, I mean, the smicha doesn't really work midin shlichusayim, but it works midin talmud ayora. Dayanus works midin shlichusayim. Yeah.
Is that called hedyotis?
Yes.
That's still called hedyotis.
Sorry.
Anybody but smuchim are called hedyotis. Now, he might have to be a gomir or a gomir vesabir, which goes to his knowledgeability. And he has to have what we call modern smicha. But he doesn't have the smicha ishmi pishmi Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore he's still called Hedyotos. But that doesn't mean that it isn't a serious status of Dayan. He's a Dayan, but...
What did Ramban say about Kibbul Olai by Gerim?
That's a good question. He doesn't say one way or another. But there's every reason to think that if Kibbul Olai works for Hedyotos, it might work for Gerim as well. The fact that it doesn't work for Akum certainly doesn't prove it doesn't work for Gerim. After all, Ger is even done Chavero. A ger. So ger can really be a daya under certain conditions. So likely that would work. Okay, let's look at the Ran. I want to show you that the Ran goes further and says that the problem of Hedyotos is not even rectified by Kibbul Olai. But I also want to show you how he interprets, and this he takes from the Ramban in Zebora, but he expands the explanation of it. What does he do with the two Gemaras? And this is really fascinating. So look at the Ran. On page 2, but we can pick it up from the bottom, at Teretz HaNachon, line 36. Everybody have that? Line 36. Again, remind everybody the questions. Two Gemaras, right? Gittin says the problem of Smuchim is of Neidiotos. And the Drabanan is Shlichusayu. Our Gemara says Elohim, and the Drabanan is Nilas Delas. Okay, says the Ran. Hateretz Hanachon Lecholzeh, the Hak Sugya the Hacha, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which says Elohim and Nilas Delas, he leinyan hadin atzmo. Refers to the capacity of the Dayanim to render psakim. Imu kosher behedyotos. Imlo. Can hedyotos do that? Can they render a proper psak? Right? Minat Torah? Or not? And, vahonafka, me'erev parshios, she'ubi ikar din she'omra Torah, ad holahim yavod dvar shnehem, she'im mumchim. Vimenan mumchim, hadin pasal mudaraisa. Our Gemara says, we learned that, Elohim is a requirement, and Erev Parshios kind of exports this din, you know, to other dine mamonis as well. And this teaches us that the definition of a dayan, the capacity to be done, requires smicha. Midrabanan, however, mishum nilas deles, hitiru chachamim hadin afilu bedyotos. The chachamim came along and they said, nilas deles, we're going to accept the psakim of hedyotos. But you have to understand, if you really think that definitionally you require a dayan samuch ish mipiish 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 in order to render psakim, so how do you just drop it, you know, through nilas deles? So the answer for the Ran is very radical. The hefker bezen hefker. Wow. Hefker bezen hefker basically means that when a bezen of hedyotos renders a psak, the reason that it's working is because of their koach to be mafker mamon, not because doraisa, even though doraisa it isn't really a din. That's a very remarkable thing.
Hefker bezen hefker means the psak. They can do what they want, but that doesn't to initiate that they have the right to judge. That hefker bezen hefker doesn't do that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to point out.
Psak.
Normally, hefker bezen hefker
is not that they give, not that it gives them the authority to give this psak.
Well, exactly. So what the Ran is saying is not that hefker bezen gives you the authority to give the psak, but that the psak isn't really a psak; it's more of a hefker bezen hefker. In other words, when this bezen says you owe $1,000, instead of saying paskening, I mean they are, it looks like they're paskening you owe $1,000 and you have to pay because of the psak. But really what they're saying is we hereby create a $1,000 debt. That's very radical.
And for that you don't need smukim, obviously.
And for that, apparently for hefker bezen,
right,
according to the Ran, you don't need smukim. So this is a big question in general. You only need smukim for hora, or for maisa bezen, or for both, or for which one? It would seem, according to the Ran, that a Maisa Bezdin doesn't really require smukin.
What is the source of Hefker Bezdin?
So the Gemara in Yevamos and in Gittin quotes two different sources. One is from Yehoshua and the other is from Ezra. Kol asher lo yavo l'shloshes hayamim yacharam kol rechusho. So they were able to confiscate property, the Bezdin. And the other one is Ela Nakolos Asher Nichalu Yehoshua. So that's the interesting thing. The Rajba in Gittin and the Amshel Shlomo in Yevamos both point out that the two psukim may be relevant to how Hefker Bezen works. Is it just confiscate money, or can it create obligations as well? Because one is Asher Yacharam. So they're spoilers, right? They're taking away money. But Ela Nakalos Hashem Nichalo Yehoshua, that's creating kinyanim. But that's the makar. Anyways.
When we say Hefker Bezen Hefker Lagabe, Lagabe being Machkia Kiddush.
Well, that, we talked about that last year.
Right.
So I mean, according, that's way Rashi explains how afkin rabban on the kiddusha minay works.
Right.
They're mafkia the kesef kiddusha.
And that you don't, that any bezdin would be authorized. You just have three edyotos according to what the Ran is saying now.
Afkin, it's a little trickier because they're trying to do that lamafreya.
Right.
Normally, a bezdin can't do that lamafreya, but that's a little bit also based on the idea that we talked about last year. You know, that Kala Mekadesh Adata Drabanan Mekadesh, Rebbe Kadesh Asleep Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. So that doesn't mean, and not any Bezdin, just when you get married, and you know, and that's what you say, you know, so there, that might, according to Rashi, that might be the Pshat. Normally, Hefker Bezdin Hefker is Mikan or Lahaba, not Lamafreya. And it works, it requires a Bezdin Da'alume Lafkue Mamona, a Bezdin Chashuv. But it doesn't require smuchim, at least not according to the Ran, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is a big question, whether smuchim are required, you know, again, isui, the Gemara has it, but what are they required for? We'll, if we get a chance, we'll speak. What about geirus, for example? Right? Do you need a smuchim for bezin shel geirus? That's a big debate among the mefarshim. The Rambam, for example, doesn't seem to think that you require smuchim for bezin of geirus. The problem is, if you do, again, how does it work? The Ramban in Yevamos on Mem Vamud Beis seems to say that shlichusayu kavdinon can work in geirus, which is maybe the Ramban's view that shlichusayu is daraisa. The Sivos and Siman Aleph, Sivkarton Aleph, says shlichusayu is. We'll get to that. Daraisa. Most of the Rishonim think that it's Rabbanan. Anyways, this is the Ran so far. But this isn't the best part of the Ran. This is only half of the Ran so far. So the Ran basically says, our Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about Psak. Minat Torah, Psak requires a Bezdin Samuch. Midrabbanan, Yilas Deles, actually triggers Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Right? And that's how it works. What's the Gemara in Gittin about? Listen to this. The Osa, Sugya, Shabbatara Kamagaresh, who in a mitzvah cheres, Sha'amra Torah, Sha'asur Lavo Lifnei Hadyotos, the Apalpisha Kiblo Aleyem, Balehadinas Dinam. That's against the Ramban in his Perish Allah Torah. It says, even if there's Kiblo Alei, you can be Makabal Karov, an apostle, and a one instead of three, right? So why can't you be Kabbalah Adyotos? Can't be Kabbalah Adyotos? Not according to the Ran. Wow. Based on the Isur of Lifnei Adyot. What is this Isur? Kedera Shasalova Lifnei Akutim. Apa Pishkibolem. Bali Dinim. Asinam. Biapa Pish of Shneim. Hadin Eno Kluminat Torah. Basically, what's the Ran asking? A very basic question. It says, Minat Torah, if they're not Smuchim, then the judgment that they render will be invalid. So if it's invalid, why do you violate Lifnei Velo Lifnei Adyotos? One would think that if it doesn't work, that you've wasted everybody's time, but what's the Isser? Right? Mm-hmm. Oh. Again, Afa Pisha B'Shneim Adin Eino Klumin HaTorah, Afu L'Hachi Kadesha Lo Yavou Ba'ar Koseim, in order that it's prohibited just to go. Shehu ilu yirasam, az kedei shelo yish. Oh, sad. I'm sorry. In the hediotos, kedei shelo yishtamshu ha hediotos bekeser hamumchin. This is language, right? The point here, the iser is that the hediotos should not be usurping the crown of the mumchin. Right? Asra Torah shalolavo lifnei adyotos. Therefore, you're not allowed to appear in the presence of adyotos, because even though it doesn't work, by treating adyotos as if they're smuchim, you are usurping the prerogative, the hierarchy of smuchim. Asra Torah shalolavo lifnei adyotos. V'zehu shelosa shalabailu av Yosef, klomar, afa pishetiknu chachamim, Sheyadin kosher behediotos. Now it goes in the other way. What was the Ran bothered by?
He just said it was,
if it doesn't work, so who cares? Now he's asking in the other direction. And let's say it does work because of Nilas Delas, because of Hefker Bezin Hefker. Right? So is there a problem? And once it works, right? The answer is no, there's still a problem. Because it might work, but aren't you still confusing the line between, you know, the royal line between Mumchin and Hediotos? Right? Adayin Isa Zebi Mekoma Omeid, Ve'ein Koch Bechachamim Levatel Zeha Inyan. Uhu Litol Kisron Shal Mumchin. To grab the crown of the Mumchin. What's this crown of the Mumchin? Do you ever see many Smuchim going around wearing a crown? I'm not sure how many people here have seen any Smuchim, but okay. Meaning, you know, if we use our imagination. So, what is smuchin? We already read the Gemara, you know, about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, right? Karile Rebbe, the Nasa no Rishus Ladun, in the time when they had smicha, right? So, you know, the samuch, you know, calls in his student. He says, "I feel you're ready. You're ready to fly, to spread your wings, whatever it is, right? Karile Rebbe." All of a sudden he has, like, you know, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, like Klal Yisrael and the Knots of Anishma, all of a sudden they grow crowns on their heads. What is this? You know, Man Malki Rabbanan. You know, we speak about Talmid Chachamim as having you know, a malchus status, keser Torah, right? Nechein, apa pisha ha yodeya, she isi aget mo mitakonis chachamim, mikamokom lo choshashu al isur lifneim, lo lifnei adiotos. What is this? Anyways, we'll see in a moment. The tiritzlo, that's what the Gemara says in Gittin, the shlichusayu kav dinan, heim shanasnu koach ladun behediotos, heim atzman mochlon kavodon alze, ubishlichusan osin macha osin ahediotos, right? The Babel, the Zo Sharma Midahava Odos Favos, Shadin, Din, Ula Inyana Isur, Som Kanal Shlichusan, Isri Aget, Nami de Kvasayu. Chazav Hikshi, Yach Exedus for Chavalas Nami, Klomar, Achar Shamarta, the Shlichusayu, Kavdin, and Vakoach, Biarach Achamim, Lihikater, Eth, or it should be maybe Lahachtir, Eta Adiotos, Bekitron Shel Mumchin, Imken Kishatiknum, She had yotas k'sherim l'dun imam islam efrishu, and so on. What is all this? The answer is what it shows is something very important, and that is that this idea of a samuch, both dinim of the Ran and the Ramban. The Ramban says most of this in the third parak of Sanhedrin, but this whole language of kisron shal rishonim and so on, this is the Ran's embellishment. So let's stick with the Ran for the moment. The Ran on both sides is very, very powerful. Or the Ramban on both sides very powerful. Number one, the idea that, I mean, when you think about it, why is being a samuch a prerequisite for psak? Ad kedekach, that we say, oh, the Ramban of Nilas Deles, we contrast it with the Moshe of Skenu, who thought it was just a lechatchila, right? The Ramban of Nilas Deles works midin hefker bezin hefker. Wow. You need to be ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu in order to give it, in order to paskin. Well, number one, you see, the psak is a very serious matter. It's not just mar mokum ulo. The trust that we need to place, you know, in these people, chachmei amasora call them, is great. Because really, they're not computers, and it's not just about their knowledge base, is what we've been saying all along. These are the topics. It's about, if you ask me, again, I this is the way I read it. It's about a certain self-image and responsibility. That's what we were talking about. Dmusa dyukno, you know. When a person, I'm not saying that you can't have this without a classical smicha. We don't have classical smicha anymore, and we still try to have this. We still call it smicha because we're trying to, you know, retain, you know, this perspective as much as we possibly can. But the original requirement of Dayan Samuch is the idea of having like a certain tradition in Psak. But more important than that, not only a tradition, Shimush, right, Shimusho, Gdola, you know, Milimudo, Yoshua, of course, was the first Samuch, Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's more than that. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to leave the scene. We talked about it. We talked about, you know, the Rambam's famous Chiddush HaSmicha, and I was talking about Hakel. Moshe Rabbeinu is leaving the scene, and he has to, provide for some sort of succession or leadership after he's gone. The Shivim Skenim, Yehoshua, people to, number one, feel that sense of loyalty and responsibility. It's not just knowledge.
Isn't that the Shoshosa Kabbalah?
It is.
Yeah.
Shoshosa Kabbalah was originally accomplished through Smicha, basically. Again, we continue it without smicha, but smicha was a kind of a guarantee in a way. So in a way, the atzaltim and aruach, which the Rambam in Perek Dalet Hilchos Sanhedrin connects with hashras hashchina, but on the level of halacha in particular, is about achrayas, and it is about knowledge and being very careful. To invest intellectually, you know, in terms of knowing the halacha. But it's more than that. It's about what I call attunement to the system. Because there are always going to be new situations which you're going to have to, apply the halacha in a creative way. And to do that, you really need to be a great diagnostician. You need to really feel the rhythms of the system. And so on. And that's where the shimush is important, and that's where the self-image of responsibility to the past, the future, and the present is very important. So as long as there was the possibility of the institution of smicha, that was a prerequisite for psak. You could, in theory, always have had gomir vasavirs, I mean, people who study and learn, but being in that line, knowing, you know, that you were entrusted with that, is an added level of security in competence, for sure, in shimush, for sure. But if you ask me, equal to those in self-image and responsibility, in, you know, say, like, what would the Rebbe do? And, you know, he entrusted me with this, and I shouldn't be able to sleep at night, you know, if I'm going to be cavalier or given to improper pressures or just not put in the right effort, you know, to advance this. You know, it needs to be evolved and advanced, you know, but in a way that is perfectly consistent, you know, in terms of continuity. So that has two elements to it. Number one, Elohim, you know, in terms of Hechsher Psak itself. And the other aspect is the respect that that should garner, and the idea that there are these people in our midst, there are Chachmei HaMesorah, they have a certain stature, they have to be treated. I'm not talking about, you know, whether you hold the door open for them or give them shlishi. You know, I'm talking about, you know, the trust that you have to put in them. They're not infallible, of course. They could argue among themselves, but the idea is that they're not just people who, you know, did good research or have a certain amount of knowledge and experience. They too are more than the sum of their parts. And that's what Kisron Shel Mumchin is about. And what the Ran is saying, what the Ramban and Zebor are saying, is that these are two, of course, related, but different halachos. One having to do with psak, which you might have thought was purely substantive, and any gomer v'sabir is as good as any samuch, but it's not true because of these amorphous elements. My interpretation, but I believe that's really what's happening here. Number two is that the psak aside, it's important communally, right, to acknowledge this stature and this level. So to just grab for other people, even who, you know, seem to be competent, to grab kisron shel mumchin or smuchim, even when you can disentangle it from the psak, and that in two ways. Meaning, you can have a situation where the psak's no good anyway. It's still, you shouldn't be appearing in front of them, and they shouldn't be trying to take on these questions. Or the opposite. They already made the drabanan of nilas delas. So, hefker bezen hefker. The psak is going to be okay as a simulated psak, however it works. So you might think, okay, so what's the big deal now? The answer is, still, you have no right, even once it's nilas delas, and the psak might be okay, you have no right to treat a non-samuch like a samuch. It's important you make that distinction. Not because we're an elitist society, but it's important for the system that this group, right, be recognized and be accorded, you know, the stature that it required. Klal Yisrael needs that to happen.
They are the possessors of Das Torah, the smooth.
Correct. Rational Das Torah, not the way, you know, it can be a little bit, 100%, I'm saying, in our community, I'll just say this, you know, I don't want to get too polemical, but, you know, it's like everything else, people go to extremes. So, you know, there are, the term Das Torah is an important term to try to figure out, and there are some communities where it goes very, very far, and, you know, it's half mystical. I'm not, you know, I don't make fun of any, you know, the things I don't understand, but we'll put it this way. In some communities, this goes very far. But in our part of the community, because it goes far in other parts of the community, people seem to have, like, you know, just turned their back on it, you know, completely and discarded it. And that's certainly an unacceptable extreme. There have always been people who have greater expertise, and they're the diagnosticians of the system. And they're the people that you want to cultivate, and you want to build them up, and you want to turn to them when in every generation there are going to be difficult issues to try to navigate. And to kind of, you know, destroy that is to really cut off any avenue, ironically, of being, you know, orthodox and relevant So that's kind of what the Ran is telling us. There are two dinim. There's a din of smuchim in Psak. There's a din of smuchim in Kisron shel smuchim. Both of these are very important. Again, Bismaneda, we don't have smuchim anymore, but the bigger idea is still important and still very relevant. Yeah.
Is the Ran himself a leader in this like royalist view of Keser Mumchen?
No, I mean the idea of Keser Torah and the idea of Man Malki Rabbanan, you know, that Rabbanan have the, you know, are sometimes, and you know, there are, you know, Rabbanim, taxes, Pidyon Shvuyim. I mean, you know, the Ran isn't making this up. The Ran is applying these two dinim and formulating it in a very strong way. The thing about Keser Torah is that it's democratic. But again, people don't understand always what that means. Keser Torah is unlike Keser Kahuna and Keser Malkut. There's something called Keser Torah, which implies a certain royalty, right? The difference is that Keser Malkus is limited to Beis David, and Keser Kahuna is limited, and Keser Torah is Munach Lakol. But because Munach Lakol doesn't mean that everybody, Kol Olam Kulam Kedoshim, you know, Besocham Hashem, that everybody has an equal view, obviously the people who excel in this and invest in it, and not just in the knowledge of it, but also in the traditions of it, and then, you know, in the Shimusho Gedolam Milimudo, they're the ones who, anybody can be that. Any member of Klal Yisrael can aspire to that and attain it.
The Torah is the Mokum Efker.
The Torah was given in a midbar to show that anybody can take it.
Right.
But anybody can take it doesn't mean that anybody, no matter how little investment, you know, has an equal say in it.
That's contrary to Keser Malchus, Keser Kahuna, which is through lineage.
Well, exactly. That's why I say it's most democratic.
It's egalitarian.
Anybody can take it.
Yeah.
But you have to be qualified. That doesn't refer to less to, doesn't, the democratic component refers to the capacity of anybody, no matter, you know, what their lineage, you know, to be worth, and everybody to aspire and to be obligated to, you know, to excel in that area as much as possible. But the idea that that also means, therefore, that there are no standards would, of course, be a chuk, that would be ridiculous. And you know, it wouldn't be more than the other ksarim if it was just mediocre, right?
Not everyone's entitled to an opinion.
What's that?
Not everyone is entitled to an opinion.
Right,
that's
meaning
American myth.
Right. It's wrong. Right. By the way, even in America, it's not true. I mean, only citizens can vote, right? And, you know, I'm not talking about the present debates, but you know, if somebody is a member of the communist or the fascist party, you know, then, you know, his views about democracy are generally going to be, not taken seriously. So in any society that regards, you know, democratic values, that should never be a substitute for high standards. You always want there to be high standards, rigorous standards.
I would associate
what's that?
The meritocracy is what we're talking
meritocracy,
about.
Correct.
100%. I would associate the Keser Shel Torah with the Limud from Elohim as opposed to leave Nahum.
I think that's an interesting irony, but that's not the way the Ran and the Ramban are going with it. They're saying the Elohim is din, hechsher din. That part makes sense. And they're saying lefneim, lo lefnei dor. It's more of an iser because that's more of, you know, the confusion per se. In other words, by the way, the hedyotis we're talking about, and we'll see in a moment, maybe gomer v'savir, but they don't have this added when it was when there was a capacity for it. They don't have this added structural ish mipi ish. Which I think is very much a shimush and a dmuzdyukno, but the dmuzdyukno part is both. Each one is, I say, very, very critical and true. You know, and by the way, it's true in other parts of life too. I was trying to explain this to someone once, and I it happened to be, you know, somebody who was like a several generation business that, you know, from his parents and his grandparents. So I said to the person, I said, like, you know, when you make a business decision in your particular line of work, you know, because your grandfather built the company and your father took it to the next level, I said, it's totally different than if you, you know, were a worker somewhere and some, you didn't have that emotional, you probably look in the mirror and you see Dmus Dyukno telling you, don't do this, do this. That's a heavy burden, but it's also an inspiration, and you know, it's direct. That's what having ish mipi ish, you know, mimosh rabbeinu, is all about. Not a small thing, a very big thing. Anyways, that's the Ran, that's the Ramban. They hold that even Kiblu Alai is not able to get past that. But it makes total sense. I hear your question about the Elohim Lefneim. On the other hand, the Shlichu Sayu part, you know, works very nicely. What Shlichu Sayu says is, we don't have that anymore, or we don't have access to that anymore. And that doesn't mean we don't value it, in a way. In other words, what is Shlichu Sayu? Shlichu Sayu de Kamoi. You know, if I may not have, you know, not be a dayim and not even b'shem, you know, received a smicha from a samuch. But the idea that I know that my psak or my capacity here, you know, is connected to Shlichu Sayu de Kamoi of Dinan, that when I'm rendering a judgment here, I'm thinking, you know, I'm in lieu of Rabbi Akiva or Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, without being presumptuous, but with being scared or responsible, that's Kvodan Shel Rishonim. You're no longer usurping. You're not saying, oh, you know, it's time for new blood. You know, we'll do some research. We'll go to the, we'll check it out on the internet or the Bar Ilan disc. You know, that's not what you're saying. You're saying, you might be able to use those things too, by the way. They have their proper place. But you're saying is, ooh, you know, I'm in the line of Rabbi Akiva or you know, or Rabbi Kiveger or, you know, or Moshe Feinstein. I'm not them, and I wish they were here. You know, Shmuel Bedoro, you know, Kemoshe Bedoro, Yiftach Bedoro, Kishmuel Bedoro. But if you have that sense that you're a Sakavod and you also have that inspiration, it doesn't mean you're not going to be your own person. You're supposed to render the judgments assuming that you are qualified or as qualified as you can be, you know, according to how you really... So we're not talking about that. But, you know, that self-image, you know, when you're doing that is enormously helpful. So in a way, Shlichu Sayu Kavdina is saying that that's not you're grabbing Kisran Shel Rishonim, right? You're, on the contrary, you're, you know, you're not only respecting, you're advancing their agenda. That's a different story. Yeah. Okay. Rav Acha Bar Dravika, I have another couple minutes, so let me just get to the next Gemara. It has a whole different take on how to get out of this Gemara. This was Rav. So, Rav Acha Bar Dravika Amar, this is on Gimel Amud Aleph, 8 lines down. Rav Acha Bar Dravika Amar, Midoraisa Chadna Mikasher. Minat Torah for Hodos Vahavos. All you need is one dayan. Shenemar. B'tzedek Tishbot. Tishbot is Lashon Yachid. Right? Amisecha. Aye, so why do you need 3? Right? Elamishum Yoshve Kronos. Now the one dayan that you need Minat Torah in Hodos Vahavos, according to Racha Bar Dravika, a samuch or a hedyot? So Rashi says it's a hedyot. The Rabbeinu Chananel seems to say it's a samuch. We'll see next week. We'll have more marmakobos next week. There's a debate whether the Rambam thinks it's a samuch or a hedyot. Okay, but it's one. We'll see in a moment. Elamishum, why do you need 3? Yoshvei Kronos. People who are ignorant who can't even be a hedyot. A hedyot means a gomir v'sav, gomir at least, somebody who probably is knowledgeable. He knows the halacha, right? But Yoshvei Kronos are, you know, kishmom kemein, you know, people who sit around. They have a lot of free time on their hand. Obviously, people who don't can't be relied upon to paskin correctly. So the Gemara says, "Atu betlasa milo havi Yoshvei Kronos." If there are 3, that's going to guarantee that there are no, that you don't have all 3 Yoshvei Kronos. What?
Yaakov in this week's parsha.
Okay. Well. Yeah, we'll leave that. But if shard delays behu chad gomer. So the Gemara says, if you have 3, one of them is going to be a gomer. Okay. So then again, the Gemara says, like it said in the previous suggestion, Okay, so if it's one, it's three adyotos in order to establish one. So the Gemara says, Elamianta tola yishalmo. So maybe then, if there's a malpractice suit, there should be no liability. So the Gemara says, Koshkin to defishi yoshve kronos. You're going to encourage every ignorant, unqualified judge, because he knows he's not going to have to answer for his egregious, improper psakim. So in order to encourage competent judges, it's better to have malpractice liability. The Gemara says, okay, Ma'ika ben Rava l'Ravacha ben Ravika. What's the difference between Rava's answer? Three dayanim hedyotos midrabanan, the Torah you need three smuchim, as opposed to Ravacha ben Ravika, three hedyotos, right, as opposed to one dayan daraisa in odos avos. So the Gemara says, Ika benayu, domar Shmuel, shnayim shedanu d'neim din, ala shenikru bezdin chotzov. Shmuel said that two, right, can judge a case, even though it's called a presumptuous bezdin. The Rava leisle de Shmuel, Rava said you need three hedyotos, two isn't enough. The Ravacha breid Ravika isle de Shmuel. Ravacha breid Ravika, he thinks that Shmuel is correct. Okay? Meaning he says you can get away with one, so certainly you get away with two. That's the Gemara. So there are two things that we need to, or three things that we need to discuss next week in Ravacha Bein Ravika. Number one is, as I mentioned before, the one daraisa of Ravacha Bein Ravika is a samuch or a hedyo. That's question number one. In general, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Hananel, more importantly the Rambam, paskins like Ravacha Bein Ravika. That means in Torah you can get away in Hodos Vavos with one. Problem is that the Rambam also paskins that Shnayim Shadanu Ein Dineim Din. And the Gemara here says that if you paskin like Ravacha Breid Ravika, then you should also paskin like Shmuel. Right? How does the Rambam paskin like Ravacha Breid Ravika and yet paskin such as that? The Rambam says you can get away with one Dayan, and then the next sentence the Rambam says a Bezin requires three. We'll look at it next week. Perek Beis, Hilchos, Sanhedrin. There seems to be contradictions in the Rambam. Not only that, but the Rambam speaks about Shlichu Sayu. What do you need Shlichusayu for if you hold a Karbacha Breid Ravika? Okay, so the problem is how to square the Rambam sheet. The third problem is, are the three hadyotos of Ravacha Breid Ravika the same as the three hadyotos of Rava? Meaning, according to Ravacha Breid Ravika, the reason you need three hadyotos is to ensure that you'll have one mumcha, or gomir. Does that make a difference in terms of the quality of who the three are? What is the level of three hedyotos, dayanim hedyotos and hodos valdos do you need? Do you need three gemiri, three very knowledgeable dayanim? Or maybe you can get away with one gamir and what we call two sviri. Two people who are, you know, they can hear a good argument and they can, you know, join the discussion. They don't necessarily need to be on the same level as the gamir. And for that matter, what would happen if you had a situation where, let's say you had an imbalanced Bezdin in the sense that, let's say you had one Gamir and two Sviri, right? So let's say the two Sviri voted against the one Gamir, right? What would be the halach? So these are the three questions that I want to talk about next week, and then we'll move on after that. We'll go more quickly after that to Bezdin Nota and Acharab Lahatos, and so on.